Yehu had stopped at the crest of the hill, sweeping out his hand to indicate the woods and clearings below him, dotted with the diminutive figures of the little children, busy collecting wood for the Vil's fires.
Here is the rich and wonderful plenty that Moses has given us. This is our reward for treading only in the prints of his feet.
Ryan had the Steyr SSG-70 unslung into his right shoulder before the first echo of that desperate, shrill scream had begun to fade across the whispering tops of the pines. He put his eye to the starlight night scope, using the power laser image enhancer, searching for the best target, the frightened children filling his field of vision.
Stickies! I knew I felt something bad!
Yehu rushed down the far side of the gentle hill, toward the panicked little ones. He carried no blaster, and had simply drawn his dagger, the same blade that had opened Jimmy's throat the night before. JB stood with Uzi at his hip, looking down at the scene of confusion.
Brave, or stupid, why do you not commence firing at the ranks of the ungodly, John Dix, out of range?
The nearest child was more than 300 yards away, but they were all running back and forth, trying to escape the four or five muties that had come lurching suddenly out of the undergrowth. Mildred had her Czech ZKR-551 target revolver cocked in her hand. Excellent marksman though she was, the range and the rapid movement below made it an almost impossible shot.
Can't we go down and help?
Wait, could be an ambush. Could be more of them in the trees.
I make it five. Two children down already. Think they're after prisoners.
A slaughter of the innocents.
Ryan was already concentrating on doing some shooting. He had the satisfaction of seeing one of the marauding stickies throw up its hands and tumble into the dirt like a discarded sack of old clothes. The other four paused at the sound of the shot. Ryan decided that the likelihood was that it wasn't any kind of trap.
JB, go down there. The rest of you with him. I'll do what I can up here and then follow on down.
Let's kick ass!
JB ran down the hillside, pursuing the tall, lean figure of Yehu. Mildred was at his heels, followed by the lumbering Doc. Christy hesitated a moment, her snub-nosed Smith & Wesson 640 double action in her right fist.
Dean and Michael?
Bastard. Missed. Dean? He and Michael went with that Dorothy. They both got blasters. Would have heard shooting if they'd been jumped by beauties.
I guess so. See you down there.
Christy turned and ran after the others, her blazing crimson hair streaming behind her like a battle pennant. Ryan knelt down to make himself steadier, aiming carefully and putting the third bullet through the chest of another of the stickies. The sticky staggered backward, tripping over a cowering child, before crashing down in a tangle of limbs.
Two down.
The three surviving muties had gathered themselves into a vaguely defensive ring. Sunlight glittered on steel, and Ryan saw that they all held crude axes. Yehu was less than 50 yards away from them, his arms pumping, his mouth open in a soundless scream, his slim knife in his hand. The dappled sunlight, filtering through the branches of the trees, splashed on his golden hair as he charged. One of the little girls, her eyes staring in mindless terror, actually ran into the arms of the tallest of the surviving stickies. The suckered fingers grabbed at her arms, tearing circles of skin away, blood speckling her pale blue shirt. Ryan saw it all through the scope, but it was over too fast for him to do anything to prevent it. The mutie's hand went to the child's throat and clamped shut. The immensely strong fingers squeezed once, and blood gushed from her open mouth and nostrils, from her ears, and from her sky-blue eyes. Ryan didn't have a chance to prevent the atrocity, but he had time to avenge it. The sticky lifted one crimsoned hand to its face, its forked reptilian tongue snaking out to lap the fresh blood. The 7.62mm round smashed into the center of its hoggish nose, tumbling as it entered the space behind the face, shredding the vicious brain as it distorted, eventually exiting just behind the creature's left ear. The two muties left standing might have had a chance of survival if they turned and run into the surrounding forest, but despite the fact that Ryan had obviously been able to pick them off at long range, they made no attempt to escape.
Ah, fire blast!
Because of the contours of the hillside, Yehu was now directly in Ryan's line of fire, obscuring his chance to take out the last two muties with a pair of easy shots. JB and Mildred were closing in on the stickies, Doc 20 paces behind them, Christy just overtaking him. But none of them was near enough to interfere in the final scene of the lethal drama. There was no need at all for the young man to risk his own life by throwing himself against the pair of waiting muties. He could easily have stood off and allowed Ryan, Mildred, or JB to have safely chilled them. The nearest Sticky swung its crude axe at Yehu, but the agile young man dodged under it, cutting upward with his own knife. Ryan was on his feet, walking slowly down the slope, knowing that haste would do nothing to alter the eventual outcome. He saw a dark patch of blood appear along the side of the creature's ribs. The second muti grabbed at the diving figure of the young man, but Yehu's momentum carried him through and past, snatching a moment to try to stab the muti.
Brave, but stupid.
Ryan paused in mid-stride, seeing that the leader of the vill wasn't particularly skilled at knife fighting.
Mildred, do them!
For someone who had won a silver medal in the free pistol shooting at the last ever Olympic Games in Atlanta in 1996, it was like picking off carp in a bathtub. Yehu had dropped to his knees, his eyes closed, his lips moving.
Nice shooting, Mildred.
JB's eyes glinted behind his glasses as he continued to scan the darkness beneath the surrounding trees in case there were more stickies on the loose. Ryan continued down the slope to rejoin his friends. Christy and Doc were trying to comfort the terrified children. Mildred Wyeth had walked over to check that all of the muties were dead. Not that Ryan had any doubts on that score. He knew killing shots when he saw them.
All done?
Yeah. We going to leave them here? The kids should be taken back to the vill as soon as possible. There's four of them dead. The one with the wounded leg needs treatment.
Yehu, you all right?
Blessed Moses, forgive us for our sins.
Come on, it's over.
Let us welcome the shadow of death in this dark valley. It is a sign that we have not worked hard enough and have walked from the path of light into the deep midnight. Save us, wonderful Moses, from this place of blood.
Ryan shook him.
Get the fuck up, boy. You're the leader of this place. And you got some dead children to take home and bury. And there's wounded. Decisions to be made on the stickies.
He hauled Yehu to his feet.
You saved my life. You. An oldie. An outlander. Saved my life.
It was Mildred who took out the last two for you.
The black woman oldie.
Kinda difficult to come to terms with, is it, boy? Not just an old person, not just an old woman, but an old black woman. Going to take some hard thinking on that, isn't it?
The children had been herded together, and JB had hoisted the injured little boy onto his back. In their horror at the stickies, most of the little ones seemed to have temporarily overcome their revulsion and fear of Doc, and were happy to have him standing close by, guarding them. The woods were returning quickly to normal. Far above them, Ryan noticed a jet-black carrion crow, circling slowly, its bright eyes staring down at the prospect of some fine feeding. Mildred bandaged the boy's leg as soon as they got back, covering it with a layer of clean linen, having first washed the raw wound with a bowl of the crystal lake water. As he recovered his nerve, the child became less and less happy about being tended by an outland stranger. All his young life, he'd been reared on Moses' teaching that old meant bad. The bodies were taken away into one of the smaller buildings that backed onto Champlain Lake to be mourned by the community. Dorothy appeared out of the crowd, with Dean and Michael following sheepishly at her side.
You bring death at your shoulder, Outlander. Isaac's sweet brother, then Jimmy, and now four of our precious jewels.
You think we're in league with the bastard stickies? Then your mind's more fucked up than I thought.
Dad, you shouldn't speak to Dorothy like that.
Ryan's face flashed with anger, and he half-lifted his fist toward his son.
You don't ever talk out against me, or any of us. Not in front of strangers, Dean. Not ever.
Sorry, Dad, but...
Yehu was standing at the back of the group, and he pushed through to the front.
Sister Dorothy.
What?
Yehu put the tips of his fingers together, making a steeple from them.
Moses would not wish to hear the way you've been speaking.
I speak truth. There's been nothing but ill luck and death since they set foot in our lands.
They didn't bring the stickies. Ryan and Mildred chilled them and saved our little ones from much, much worse.
Moses knows this?
Of course.
What did he say?
That he would speak to the Outlanders himself.
When will that be, Yehu?
Soon.
Today?
Yes, when the word is sent. You should all stay ready and not leave the vill so that you can go as soon as Moses is ready to speak to you.
I don't get you people. I've never seen a vill like this one. Yesterday you lose one of you to the stickies. Next morning out go your children free as air. You told me there were armed guards on them. So what happened?
They saw some orchids, so they picked them as a tribute to Moses. They thought our young ones would be safe.
Right.
Now you know there are stickies in the forest. Look out the window. There's still people working in the fields.
But they're close enough to the causeway if the stickies attack. Anyway, Outlander, you forget that you killed them all this morning.
Ryan gripped the young man by the collar of his clean shirt.
Yehu, if I take a boat and catch me a trout in the lake, catch 5 trout, does that mean there aren't any more fish in the whole bastard lake?
Of course not.
Damn right, Shiver Brains. Because we chilled a few stickies who weren't expecting to come against well-armed men and women, you think you can sit around and smile and tell yourselves that your fucking Moses is on top of the world and all's bitching well?
Don't call him that!
To Ryan's disbelief, Yehu was actually drawing his dagger, as though he were going to try to slit Ryan's throat, like he had Jimmy the night before. Ryan chopped at his forearm with the side of his hand. At the same time, he brought his knee up into the young leader's groin. Not hard enough to send him into shock and kill him, but hard enough to put him down on the scrubbed planks.
Don't you ever do that, Yehu, or you get to be dead.
When Ryan turned away, he saw that Dorothy had gone pale, and that Michael had taken a step toward him, his knuckles white, his eyes narrowed in anger.
Yeah?
You weren't my father, Ryan Carter.
I know that, Michael.
Ryan watched the teenager with every fraction of his concentration. Ryan knew that he was fast enough in close combat, but he also knew that Michael was quicker.
And I don't have to jump to do every damned thing that you tell me.
True again. Is there a point to this?
The youth stepped closer. To the right and behind Michael, Ryan saw Christy silently drawing her blaster.
You know the point.
No, tell me.
When I was at Nil Vanity, I spent my life being told what to do, Ryan.
You were a kid then.
You and your lot think that being old means never having to say sorry for anything.
Well done, Brother Michael.
I believe that we would rather hear the organ grinder than his tame monkey. Though I confess, in this case, I'm not altogether clear in my mind as to which is which.
You shut the fuck up, Doc! This is between Ryan and me!
No, I think you're wrong when you say that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that it's between the young ones of Quindley, with Dorothy here as their mouthpiece, and us.
Bullshit, Ryan.
But it was obvious that Michael's anger was slipping away. Observing body language was something that the traitor had taught Ryan at an early age, watching not just the eyes, and listening to more than the words.
Look, we never interfere in the way Avila's run. You know that, Michael. It's their business, not mine, not yours either. You understand?
Sure.
Typical oldie lies. You should listen to Moses, Brother Michael. He can teach you how to see the world clearly, not through misted oldie eyes.
When I was a child, I saw and spake as a child. I'm not sure the precise words. It was something like that. Now I'm grown up, I put away childish thoughts and desires, and I see clearly. Think on that, Michael.
About 90 minutes later, it was Donnie who made a hesitant appearance in the sunlit doorway of their room, his squinting eyes glancing uneasily all around, without actually settling on any of them. Only 5 of the companions were there. Dean and Michael had left with Dorothy and Yehu, and hadn't yet reappeared. Doc dozed on his back. Christy leaned on the sill, looking out over the lake. JB and Mildred were field stripping and cleaning her ZKR 551. Ryan lay on his bed, looking up at a mouse that was picking its delicate path over one of the heavy roof beams.
Moses will speak to you now.
Ryan swung his legs over the side of the bed and stood, reaching for the Steyr rifle and slinging it across his shoulder.
Fine.
Yehu waited for them outside the only stone-walled building in the ville. A magpie was strutting around and around the conical thatched roof, the bright light making its black feathers glow with a deep purple sheen.
You should have come more quickly.
You coming in with us?
It is permitted, but you must follow the law.
What's that mean, Yehu?
It means that... Well, you'll see for yourselves inside. The Temple of Moses is divided.
Temple?
The temple is divided! The public atrium is where we'll be. There is a wall that closes Moses off from the crude world. He speaks from behind it. But there is a mirror of magic that shows us only our poor faces. Moses watches us from behind it.
They all turned as a blonde girl, looking to be about 12 years old, came toward them from the direction of the kitchens, carrying a silver platter. Yehu gestured for the child to go through.
Noon food for Moses. She will leave it by the locked portal to the inner sanctum, and Moses will take it when there are no mortal eyes to gaze upon his divinity.
Mortal portal?
Cut it out, Doc.
My apologies. I shall be the utter soul of discretion, young man. It will be an unforgettable experience to find oneself in the presence of a godhead incarnate, a deity made flesh.
Christie had looked at the dish carried by the girl. It was a grilled salmon taken off the bone, the pale pink meat decorated with parsley, surrounded with creamed potatoes and thin-sliced carrots.
I thought that you were all vegetarians.
We eat no flesh of any sort. But Moses is above and beyond any such restrictions. So we either fish or hunt for him, or barter for meat.
Sure enjoys the good life, your Moses, doesn't he?
It is his right. Now come in, and please be respectful inside.
Dark night.
The rest of them were equally impressed. The buildings that they'd seen in Quinleyville had all been fairly crude and basic, with nothing beyond the simplest furniture. This was luxury on an almost unimaginable scale. If this was the public common side of the temple, then it was impossible to think what the godling's own quarters were like beyond the dividing wall. A thick carpet of animal furs covered the floor. Directly opposite them was the mirror that Yehu had mentioned. It was set in a frame of precious and semi-precious stones, giving it a rich, almost supernatural appearance.
There's onyx and chalcedony, about 10 different kinds of agate, tiger's eye and jet, sapphires and rubies, carved ivory inlaid with gold.
Look at the pictures on the walls. Those originals, Yehu?
I don't know what that means. Moses sent out for them years ago, past history.
Mildred walked around, peering at the paintings. One was of a man working at a gas station on a deserted road by a forest.
Hopper. And that one's definitely a Wyeth.
She stared in disbelief at the strange, haunting picture of a bleached animal skull set against an arid, pink and gray New Mexico landscape.
My God! But I'm sure that's an original Georgia O'Keeffe. It's beautiful!
Yehu raised a hand for silence and turned to face the mirror.
We are here, Moses.
Maybe he's not home. We won't wait.
You can't leave. Can't. The Outlanders are Ryan Cawder, Christy Roth, Mildred Wyeth, J.B. Dix, and Doc Tanner. Ryan is the father of...
The boy, Dean. Yes, I know that, Yehu.
Wow. A guy with a voice like that could have made a serious fortune doing voiceover ads for soap powder or life insurance.
They are welcome to Quinley. We have heard of your help with the evil, mutated creatures that inhabit the wild woods around our Sanctum Sanctorum. And for that assistance, we give you the thanks of Moses.
You're welcome.
Ryan stared intently at his own reflection on the wall facing them, guessing that it was an old-fashioned two-way mirror. The skill of making them had been lost during the long winters, but he'd seen a couple in the top-check bedrooms of high-class gaudies.
You know that we have a rule that everyone must willingly sacrifice their lives upon reaching the end of their road at the age of 25.
Willingly?
Oh, yes. This place is totally safe. Life is wonderful, but only because the supernal ancient ones accept our sacrifices. The balance and harmony must be maintained.
How long can they stay with us, Moses?
As long as they wish.
Even me, O great Panjandrum, Moses? Even this disgusting old sack of tripes that befouls the very air of your Temple of Temples, Holy of Holies, Light of Lights, Ancient of Days, Lord of the Cherubim and Seraphim?
Doc, cut it out.
I recognize an unusual mind, Dr. Tanner. If you are here with us for long enough, perhaps you and I can find some idle moments to discuss questions moral and physical.
Philosophical and diagnostic.
Elementary and alimentary.
I admit, Moses. Where were you when the light went out, by the way? I admit it is a rare delight to speak with someone capable of stringing together words that consist of more than a single syllable.
How old are you, Moses?
Christie's question hung in the ornate room.
Gone deaf, Moses? I asked how old you were? Simple enough question.
The question is simple, Christie.
So why not answer it?
I am old enough to have created and succored this Vale of Quinley without fear or favor. And that will be answer enough, Christie. That will be all, Yehu.
Yes, Moses.
Assure all my people that the Outlanders mean no harm. Even one so unbelievably antiquated as Dr. Tanner is to be treated with respect.
You are truly all heart, Moses.
Now you may leave me. I have seen all I need to see. Take care of them, Yehu.
How about the Stickies? You just gonna let that go?
Nothing needs doing, does it, Ryan? You are the man of action, I can tell that.
I'd go and send out a search party, wreck the woods, up and down the coast of the lake. You got enough rifles, Moses. Look for tracks. Could be a whole bunch of muties within a mile of here. Find them and chill them.
I shall think on that. Now, you can all go.